Thank you for listening to the LA Catholic Morning Podcast. To help us broadcast all the good, true, and beautiful, please go to our support page on archangelradio.com.
Time to wake up, Lower Alabama. From the original home of Mardi Gras, moon pies, and more, this is LA Catholic Morning.
Going home to Alabama, all the way to where the ocean meets the road.
Oh, yeah. It's Friday.
All day.
LA Catholic Morning. Ellen Taylor here. Mike Romano and Rip Repol over there. Todd's not here, so I can just do my happy dance that it's the weekend coming.
Yes, you can. I want to see that happy
longer
dance.
Extend the segment about how wonderful it is to have 2 days.
Yes, and I said I want to see your happy dance.
Oh.
Where the cameras are on you. So do your happy dance.
No, no,
to the
there's
Facebook.
No happy dance.
Oh.
We got the competition here.
Yeah, looking
Facebook
forward to that game, 2:30 tomorrow.
Yeah, the Gator helmet and the Alabama helmet are front and center. So, Rip, good luck to your team there.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead
well
and make
for
can,
me.
Can I make my final prediction?
Okay, go ahead.
Bama 40 and Florida 31.
Okay, we'll see how that. Yeah. Also, Auburn-Penn State,
yeah.
Game. And,
I've got Auburn winning that one. Close.
And Miami-Michigan State on at 11 a.m. Yep.
Yeah. Step it up. Playing some Big Ten teams,
yes,
huh?
Roll
no more Appalachian States.
Oh, you
I'm kidding. I know we had Mercer. I know. I can't
time.
Say anything. Hopefully we play better than we did last week.
Yeah.
But, hey, speaking of playing better, St. Michael. Oh, my goodness.
They won last
taking
night.
Taking it to Escambia, taking the Blue Devils to the woodshed. 44-12.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. They've rebounded nicely.
They have.
We look forward. We'll have the McGill game tonight on the air as well. Citronelle's coming to town, and we are at the Lip.
There will be blood again.
All right. We've got our saint of the day, St. Robert Bellarmine. And that's really all I got is the title. Todd fills in with the life and why he's a... somebody important, but please do your own research on that today. I had to do the news, too.
I know.
We're open in prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. O God, who adorned the Bishop, St. Robert Bellarmine, with wonderful learning and virtue to vindicate the faith of your church, grant through his intercession that in the integrity of that same faith, your people may always find joy. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We thank our LA Catholic Morning sponsor, Coastal Segway Adventures. And looking for an adventure, try Coastal Segway Adventures, offering kayak and paddleboard rentals for a fun-filled, hassle-free day on Lake Shelby. To make your reservation, visit CoastalSegwayAdventures.com or call 251-509-TOUR. That's 251-509-8687. Coastal Segway Adventures. And here we're coming with the news. So here are your news headlines for Friday, September 17th, 2021. Texas Governor Greg Abbott has overruled President Joe Biden yesterday, saying due to the negligence of the Biden administration, he has no choice but to close six border crossings with Mexico to stop the caravans from overrunning our state. He ordered this shutdown yesterday at the border because mainly over 10,000, mostly Haitian and Venezuelan migrants have amassed under the Del Rio, Texas bridge as the crisis at the border continues with no solution from the Biden administration. Supply of The antibody treatment that has been picking up steam as working well for COVID treatments. So Florida, Alabama, Tennessee, Texas, and other southern states have been restricted by the Biden administration with no real explanation except maybe this thought of equity among other states. And that no state sites in Alabama have been promised the treatment. And I know Florida's had a big push on opening sites so people can get treatment. Not here. Hello, Governor Kay Ivey.
Come on, Grandma.
Yeah.
Get with it, Grandma. You need to let us have some treatment.
Yeah. In weather, a high of 81 expected, but there's more rain coming. And it looks, according to my weather app, starting about 10 a.m. And it's going to rain through the evening. Another 1 to 3 inches are expected to drop in the mostly the same flooded locations. In sports, as we said, St. Michael won last night. McGill Toolin plays tonight against Citronelle. And in traffic, don't see any accidents. So that's your news today.
Awesome.
On the line, we have a regular Friday guest to open the show, Tom McDonald, media czar. Tom, how are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm doing well. It's always great when it's a Friday.
See, I think so, too. And Todd doesn't give enough press to the excitement of Fridays. So,
because he's got to work, you know.
I know. He's got to get on the roof. So you have something you've watched on Apple Plus.
Come From Away.
Come From Away?
Yes.
What is that?
Well, so last week I reviewed the film Worth on Netflix, which was a true story of one aspect of 9/11, and that was the figuring out the victims' families' compensation.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of fascinating. And so I still sort of had 9/11 and the anniversary on my mind. And as I was thinking about that, I had a family member who lives in another city shared with the rest of the family a little text group about this Broadway play that she had seen, which a filmed version of the Broadway show. Actually, let me rephrase that. Not a movie adaptation of the show, but a filming of a Broadway performance of the show was on Apple Plus now, and it's a show called Come From Away, which is also 9/11 themed, but in a very different manner than you might expect. You know, so much of the material available in 9/11 takes the form of documentaries and investigations and things like that. This is something different. I mean, when you phrase it a certain way, it sounds really weird and almost disrespectful to say, well, it's a 9/11 themed Broadway musical.
Yeah.
Which seems disrespectful and wrong when you hear it that way. But what it is, it's a show about, and this was brought up in some of the programming I saw in the last couple of weeks. If we remember, one of the sort of easy to forget facts about 9/11 was the fact that during the attacks, there were a lot of aircraft in the skies around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And in the fervor of trying to make things safe, and us not knowing if more attacks were coming, all the planes in the air had to land basically immediately and stay grounded until further notice.
Mm-hmm.
And so 38 planes had to land in Gander, Newfoundland, which it's in a part of Newfoundland, which is an island, the large island of Newfoundland there in Canada. And it's kind of sticks out into the Atlantic about as far as you can get before you're actually in the Atlantic on the way to Europe. So these aircraft, this is a town of 7,000 people, and they had the closest suitable airport to handle the aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
So at a moment's notice, 38 planes had to land there, and they ended up staying for several days before they received clearance to take off and resume their journeys again. And the number of passengers on the planes basically doubled the size of the town once they landed. Mm-hmm. And the townsfolk had to kind of rally and come together to house all these people, to feed them, to provide fresh clothing and toiletries and all that sort of thing, because they weren't allowed to get their luggage off the planes.
Oh, okay.
They also had 19 pets in the cargo hold that had to be taken care of. So this Broadway show, Come From Away, is about this. It's about the town receiving all of these people in this time of crisis, and basically providing material and kind of psychological, spiritual comfort for these people when we were all stressed out of our minds about the uncertainty post 9/11. And so it's a really interesting, you know, I remember seeing a news story or two about this situation in Newfoundland.
Right.
But it was always like a sidebar story to all the main horrible stuff that was going on.
Yeah, like the human interest side, like, oh, look what happened here.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. But to take a tragedy like 9/11 and find sliver of a silver lining in it, mm-hmm, and turn that and put a focus on that, a spotlight on that, and turn that into a Broadway show, I think is really kind of a stroke of genius.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to find something positive in the human response that can kind of be celebrated in the midst of tragedy. I think whoever came up with this idea was really to be credited for that. It's a really interesting idea. I had never heard of this musical. It's been around since, it's been being performed since on Broadway since 2017. It actually was nominated for 7 Tony Awards, including Best Musical, Best Original Score, et cetera, in the 2017 Tony Awards. So it's 4 years ago, and I had not heard of this. And it's been running on Broadway, and it got shut down, of course, because of COVID, just like all of Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
And the Broadway just recently reopened within the last couple of weeks, finally. If you can believe it, it's been shut down all this time.
Wow.
And this show reopened and is still getting great reviews. It's selling out. It's a really popular, uplifting show, and especially now, in the climate of things, in the world, something that is just uplifting like that, where people are helping strangers, is good balm for the soul at this point.
Yeah.
If nothing else.
It's interesting because I read online that, originally they were going to film this as a movie and film it on site in Newfoundland, but with the pandemic shutdowns, they couldn't do that. So then their alternate idea, which they ended up doing, is just filming the actual Broadway show. So that's interesting, trying to make lemonade with lemons there.
Yeah, and you know, that's a double-edged sword there, because on the one hand, if you did a full-blown movie, you could do it on location and have, mm-hmm, you know, see it more directly. But it really works well. There are things I appreciated about it as a filmed Broadway production that you would lose if it was an actual movie.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, what's incredible about this is, if you think about it, the actual incident is it's a town of 7,000 people that welcomed 7,000 plane passengers.
Mm-hmm.
But the story, the cast, is only 12 people. There are only 12 people, 6 men and 6 women, in the cast of this show, and they each play multiple characters. So the two main characters played by each cast member is somebody who was on a plane,
mm-hmm,
and then they flip over and they play somebody who is one of the townsfolk helping out. And they switch back and forth between each of these characters. And then in addition to that, they sometimes play background third or fourth characters. So
that's like really old school theater, Tom.
Yeah, you're right. Uh-huh. You're doing a lot with a little. And
yeah,
it's not just the small cast.
Mm-hmm.
It's the props and staging. I mean, it's very minimalistic. It's just a stage. And it's got one of those, you know, you've seen in some shows, they have that rotating circular disc.
Uh-huh.
So they have that can turn the thing. And basically, as far as stage props,
mm-hmm,
they have a bunch of mismatched wooden chairs and a couple of tables.
Mm-hmm.
And that is basically all they use in the whole show. Like, they rearrange the chairs into rows so that suddenly everybody sits down and it's like they're on the plane. And then they get up and they switch the chairs around, and now they're in a town hall meeting discussing things. And it's amazing how, when you watch, it's very easy to follow. Like, you don't get confused as to, you know, well, which character is this person playing now? the transitions are very clear and the staging is very clear and mm-hmm. so minimalistic. And the neat thing about that is this show is now traveling and playing in other places. This would be a super easy show for like more local productions to put on. Mm-hmm. I mean, the expenses would be extremely minimal to do this.
Some chairs. How's the music in it? How did you like the music? You know,
here's the actual review part. Okay. After the appreciation of what okay. they're trying to do here. The review is this. The thing I like most about it is that the cast in the Broadway show, they don't look like Broadway people. It's a cast of people that look like regular folks that you would run into at the Waffle House or the mall or somewhere. Mm-hmm. They just look like regular people, and it's a wide variety of people. And you think, you know, on that day, these were a bunch of regular people who were in this situation. So I appreciate that they don't look like Broadway stars at all. They're just like regular people. And they perform with an incredible enthusiasm and full investment in their characters and what they're doing. And so that's that positive energy is very infectious. On the downside, the music, I mean, it's good, but the music is not anything, like there's no musical number that's going to stand out and be something you remember.
Okay.
It communicates the story very well and the emotions very well in the lyrics, but the music itself didn't really grab me too much at all. I was more interested in the storytelling aspect
okay.
than the music. And the vocal strength of the cast is not, I mean, it's good. It's not great. And so Caroline watched the first half of this with me. And she remarked that it was like, you know, they were trying to cram a lot of information in and keep it fast paced. And she remarked that this is like watching Hamilton light. Like, you know, they couldn't possibly maintain that pace and smoothness and all, but they it was sort of like they were earnestly trying to do something like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I would have ever, that comparison would have occurred to me, but, mm-hmm. You know, it's very positive, very solid. The one content advisory I would make is there's not really any bad language. There's not anything explicit, but they follow storylines, real life storylines of several passengers. You know, they're not really made up. These are real stories and some of them are composites, but the names of the people are real. The incidences are real. But one of the, basically four main storylines they follow is about a male same-sex couple that was on the plane together, and they kind of dive into their dynamic a little bit, which, you know, parents, you know, who might want their kids to watch something uplifting like this, they may not want to have to get distracted by that whole thing and mm-hmm. get into all that with their kids. So mm-hmm. that is a parental advisory for people that's one of the storylines. It's nothing explicit. It's just,
okay.
it's very obvious and in your face and you would have to deal with it in conversation. But, aside from that, it's, you know, content wise, it's just very, very positive, all the way around and kind of funny. You know, it's a bit lighthearted here and there.
Mm-hmm.
But what to me the most striking thing about it was, and I didn't really realize this at the time, but the folks on the planes, when they were grounded, this is before everybody had cell phones and certainly no smartphones. The people on the planes had to sit there on the tarmac for hours and hours and hours, and they had no idea what was going on.
Wow.
They didn't know why they were grounded. They didn't know what had happened in New York. All they knew was that something happened in America. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Wow.
And that fear of the unknown and landing in the darkness in a place that is in the middle of the ocean, basically,
mm-hmm.
Had these people pretty freaked out. So I never appreciated that aspect of this until watching this show. They bring that out really, really well.
Mm-hmm. And the movie is Come From Away on Apple TV, right?
That's right.
Okay. Tom McDonald, thanks for your great review as usual. We will talk to you tonight on the Bill McGill-Tulin football broadcast. Coming up next, Jonathan Weiss.
No. What? Randall Wright talking about the Fairhope film series.
Oh, I'm jumping ahead to Monday's.
Yeah,
list.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Look on your sheet. That's what I created every week.
It's Friday, okay?
I know.
Got through the whole week.
I know. It's
We're
okay.
We're going to be back with Randall next.
My heart lives by the bay.
Mike, you know the music to pick to get any of our listeners going.
Yes, I
all
do.
All you do is got to play that intro.
Sweet Home Alabama.
Mm-hmm. Welcome back.
Roll Tide Roll.
L.A. Catholic Morning. Ellen Taylor here. Mike and Rip over there. On the line we have with us Randall Wright talking with us this morning. She's from the Fairhope Public Library. And we're going to talk about films that have been filmed in the area, and we thought that'd be interesting. Great Friday, yes. Lighthearted stuff in this world of all bad news going on. Welcome in, Randall. How are you this morning?
I'm doing just fine. Thank you, Ellen.
Oh, great to have you. So we do see often streets shut down or areas shut down as they're filming movies, and I know they're getting ready to film, or maybe they are filming a new one in Mobile as well. So what kind of history do we have in the area of filming done here on the lower Alabama coast?
Well, you know, I'm not sure that I know a lot about the history of it. I just know that a little bit about the three films that were filmed in Fairhope itself.
Okay.
Back in 2017, we started a summer movie program called Sweet Home Alabama mm-hmm. for the month of September, just because we were celebrating the 200th anniversary of our statehood. So we started this program, and we've continued it now. This is our, we didn't have it in 2020, of course, but this is our fourth year of having these movies. Mm-hmm. And it just happens that there were three really nice little movies that were filmed right here in Fairhope. So we've shown those this year.
Okay.
We've already shown Coffee Shop, which was from 2014, and The Map of Tiny Perfect Things, which was just 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And then Our Friend will be showing next Tuesday at 1 o'clock.
So you're showing these movies at the Fairhope Library?
At the Fairhope Library in mm-hmm. the Giddens Conference Room. It's free of charge. Mm-hmm. We do have our chairs set up for social distancing, and we do ask everyone to wear a mask. We do provide light refreshments, which currently we are bagging those and handing them out with gloves on our hands so that no one's touching anything.
Mm-hmm.
We do provide ice water and coffee for folks that need something to drink. And we've had a really good reception. This is, as I said, this is our fourth year of doing the Sweet Home Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Our last movie of the month will be Forrest Gump, which is actually was not filmed in Alabama, but Forrest was born in Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the author of the book, Winston Groom, lived right here in Fairhope. So we're really excited about that also.
It's good. I know filmmakers like to use this area a lot. Weather's good for filming year-round. And also, you can get a very different looks as far as the, you know, whether you need a, you know, a coastal view or something southern or hometownish. So they've really taken advantage of just a lot of locations in Fairhope. And
I agree with you totally. It's there are an awful lot of opportunities for unique scenes, and the movies that we've just, yesterday we just showed Coffee Shop,
uh-huh.
and it just displays Fairhope beautifully. So many wonderful scenes and so, you know, easy to recognize
mm-hmm.
Our beautiful little town. So, and the same with, one of the reasons we love The Map of Tiny Perfect Things is because it features the library itself. So, there's a scene in the library, and the building is shown three or four times in the movie. So that's exciting for us to see that.
Yeah, that was a really cute movie. I did actually see that one. I have not seen the coffee house or coffee shop.
Coffee shop.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
It was filmed in 2014, and it's, you know, it's a sweet little movie. You can stream it on Netflix or on Amazon
yeah.
Prime if you have those. two services. But the library does have the DVD, which is easy to check out.
And are there any challenges when these film crews come to the area and ask to film, especially because I imagine filming in the library, you've got to shut things down. What are some of the challenges in working with film directors here?
I would imagine that the biggest thing would be having to shut things down and rearranging traffic and the coordination that you have to do with the city and with the police department and all of those kinds of things that interact with when you have to close down a street. My experiences are just with showing the films. I don't really have a lot of experience with the directors or with the production of the films. I know that when they filmed in the library, it was an interesting day for us. The library actually had to close part of its facility also. But I was working upstairs and could see from a distance what they were doing. And, you know, they were only there for about 3 hours. And in the movie, the film, that part of the film takes less than 5 minutes. So that's an interesting aspect of how long it takes to shoot something and then how much of it actually shows up in the movie when it's all put together.
Yeah, you're right. It does take time. You know, I couldn't imagine that workload on people trying to find the location and then get everything together. So it films... I work in radio. We don't have to deal with those complications. while we have you on the line, what else? Do you strictly handle just the films and those kind of activities at the library? What else?
I'm president of the Friends of the Fairhope Public Library, which is a wonderful 501c3 nonprofit support organization. We are dedicated to sustaining and enriching the Fairhope Public Library. We raise funds, we provide us financial assistance for things that the budget doesn't allow for. We are also in charge of all the books that are donated to the library. We run the used bookstore in the library, which is a wonderful place to find great books at incredible prices. A little plug for our bookstore. We also sponsor a program called Raise a Reader. And upstairs in the library, we have serger sewing machines and embroidery sewing machines. And every baby born at Thomas Hospital receives a bag of goodies from us. And it includes a bib that we have embroidered and sewn. It says, "Read to Me." And the bag also includes a picture book appropriate for babies. It has information on why it's important to read aloud to children. And it has a lot of other information from the Smart Start Alabama program about raising children. And it's just that's a wonderful thing that the Friends do. Our organization is in its 62nd year.
Wow.
So we've been associated with the Fairhope Public Library for a long time. We are a volunteer organization, and we really do encourage volunteerism. And we advocate for the library funding and services. We provide scholarships for the employees if they want to improve their library skills or take for any kind of professional development. So we're very busy, very, very much a part of the library every day.
It's true. I think sometimes we forget in this digital age how essential a good public library is to the community and what a service and resource that it is to everyone. Sometimes we're all too busy staring down at our own phones to realize all the great things going on in our public libraries.
I absolutely agree with you, and I think many of us still think of libraries as just a place to borrow books, and our library is more like a community center. There are so many things going on all the time, and it really is beneficial to all of our citizens to come. You know, the library's open to every person, and so everybody can come in, use the computers, take part in the classes, which are always free. They've got wonderful book clubs that are going on every month. Mm-hmm. They have authors coming in to talk. They have genealogy classes. There are just all kinds of wonderful things going on. And the library has a great website where you can see what's happening there. They also have a Facebook page. Mm-hmm. And if you sign up for their newsletter every Friday, you get information that tells you exactly what's happening in the coming week at the library. So it's a happening place.
It is. And for our listeners, it's fairhopelibrary.org, and you can go there and see all the things that Randall Wright is talking, speaking with us about this morning. You know, it's a great gathering place, just hearing you speak about it, and it's just reminiscent of a sense of the past, but still providing things for the present and for the future.
Yes.
So you have this warm, welcoming, inviting tone, and you have activities. It really feels like an old-fashioned community gathering place in many ways.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. And it's a lot of that has to do with the staff, as you mentioned. They are so welcoming and so helpful. Mm-hmm. And it does, you know, and it does feel good. And the Giddens conference room can be rented by any organization that needs to have space for a gathering. Mm-hmm. I know my homeowners association, the community that we live in, that's where we meet every year, is in the Giddens conference room. So, you know, and it's a reasonable price to rent it out. And so the library is happy to work with folks to do that.
And you know what's nice, too, that libraries have really stepped up in the digital age where you can borrow books digitally or audio books and stuff. And Fairhope is a part of that, right? A lot of these digital libraries are interconnected around the country.
Absolutely. Wonderful resources for that. And, you know, when the pandemic started, they started bringing books to you, and they're still doing that. I think they're going to continue that. If you want to order some books online, select some books, they will bring them to your car when they come in.
Oh,
so all you have to do is drive up, let you call, and let them know you're on your way, and they'll meet you at outside and bring the books to your car. Along with all of the digital resources that you can get from home if you have a library card. Mm-hmm. And September is Library Card Month. So those listeners who don't have their library card yet need to come by and get their library card, because once you have that card, an incredible world opens up to you at home on your own computer or through visits to the library itself.
Mm-hmm. That is so true. I think mine expired. I got to stop in and see Randall over there at the library.
Yes, you do.
and this segment's just really good to remind our listeners that there's beautiful things going on in your community, and they don't cost a lot, and they're resources that we all can share and learn and grow together. So, Randall Wright, thanks for coming on and talking about the movies at the Fairhope Library and all good things going on there. Fairhopelibrary.org is the website.
It's been my pleasure.
Thank you. All right, Mike, final segment Friday. I'm not going to mess it up because I know this name. Father Paul Zogby is going to join us for the Sunday Gospel Reflection. Stay with us here on LA Catholic Morning.
Where the heart is, my heart lives by the bay. If home is where the heart is, my heart lives by the bay.
Welcome back to LA Catholic Morning. Ellen Taylor. Look at Mike. I can't even say my name. It's Friday. I've talked enough. We are on our final segment on this Friday, heading into our weekend. And joining us on the line for the Sunday Gospel Reflection is Father Paul Zogby, pastor of St. Margaret of Scotland in Foley. So thanks for joining us, Father.
My pleasure, Ellen. Thank you for having me.
Oh, well, you know, I know Mike put you on the spot and said.
Yeah, Father Patrick Gilbreth was supposed to provide it, but he had a family emergency, and so he'll do it. He'll cover next week. So I was like, let me call the next best priest. And so I know our listeners miss hearing you on your Thursday segments, but So I wanted to give you an opportunity.
I appreciate you calling me.
Oh, we're good you jumped in. We had to give you the lay of the land. So this is the 25th Sunday in Ordinary Time, and so it's just one of those ordinary Sundays. So we're going to just hear the Word of God from the book of Mark. So can you read the gospel for us?
Sure. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
At that time, John said to Jesus, "Pardon me, I've gotten the wrong one, guys. I'm so sorry. Right here, I prepared it. I promise you." Jesus said to Jesus and his disciples left from there and began a journey through Galilee, but did not wish anyone to know about it. Jesus was teaching his disciples and telling them, "The Son of Man is to be handed over to men, and they will kill him. And 3 days after his death, the Son of Man will rise." But they did not understand the saying, and they were afraid to question Jesus. They came to Capernaum, and once inside the house, Jesus began to ask them, "What were you arguing about along the way?" But they remained silent. They had been discussing among themselves on the way who was the greatest. Then Jesus sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "If anyone wishes to be first, he shall be the last of all and the servant of all." Taking a child, he placed it in their midst, and putting his arms around it, he said to them, "Whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I remember when we were building our church here, one of the most important days, it certainly was the most important day to that point, was the day the contractors were scheduled to lay the foundation. And in laying the foundation, they were particularly concerned that it would be a very level foundation. In other words, it had to be perfectly level, because you could have a beautiful building, a beautiful church on top of the foundation, but if the foundation is not level, then, you know, within a month or a year or 10 years, the whole structure will actually begin to crumble in some ways. It will just be, it will be useless to have built something beautiful if you don't lay a proper foundation. And so our blessed Savior, Jesus, is offering the foundation, and he's telling us that the Son of Man must suffer. And that reminded me of my mother telling us, her children, that God works in mysterious ways. I'm sure that the Jewish mentality and the apostles who were following our Lord were looking at a Messiah or the Son of God as being someone who would be a military figure who would sort of overthrow the Romans at the time and organize Israel to be a great nation again. But the foundation that our Lord is laying is that he is the suffering Messiah. And so we have to understand we try to understand God's ways are greater than our ways. The apostles at that point were not understanding that at all, so much so that they were actually arguing who was the greatest along the way. I'm reminded of a wonderful saying in the spiritual life that envy is the enemy of joy. I think every one of us woke up this morning praying that we would have a beautiful day, and especially a joy-filled day. The key to joy is thanksgiving and recognizing our blessings, recognizing that God is in our midst, recognizing that he is providing for our needs, counting our blessings. Strangely enough, the apostles were not counting their blessings. They were not recognizing who Jesus was. They were trying to get ahead of the next guy. And so if we want to have peace and joy, we count our blessings. Envy truly is the enemy of joy. And so if we want to battle against envy in our lives, we should consider our blessings, not what we don't have, recognizing who Jesus is, the Messiah and the servant of all. So our dear Savior tells us that we have to model him. He's the perfectly integrated human being that never asks us to do that which he does not do himself. So he says, if you want to be great, be the servant of all and the last of all. And so in that sense, we should actually realize that Jesus wants us to be great. He wants us to be great in the sense that he wants us to imitate him in his humility and greatness. Not that we're beating ourselves up saying, oh, woe is me, but that my greatness is really derived from serving others. And that certainly is something I've experienced as a priest 1,000 times. People who are the happiest that I can find are people who are finding opportunities to serve others and not consider their own needs. And lastly, in this particular passage, our dear Lord takes a child and he places it in their midst and says, whoever receives one such child as this receives me. We were fortunate a few years back, all the priests of the Archdiocese go together on retreat, and we go to a wonderful place called Manresa Retreat House, and it's run by the Jesuit priests. It's along the Mississippi River between New Orleans and Baton Rouge. And this wonderful priest, who was a great spiritual writer, and he was a really kind of a truly a wise man. He had age, so he had wisdom. And he was talking about the sin of abortion, and he said that is where Roman Catholics draw the line. He said so many of our other sins and faults and failings, even as a society, are just products of weakness. In other words, it's human weakness. But he said the Catholic Church draws a line in the sand with protecting innocent human life. Our dear Lord places a child in the midst of the apostles to remind us that children are to be protected, to be nourished, to be guided. They're to be accepted and to be treasured and valued and loved. And I just remind you, my beloved people, that you cannot be Roman Catholic and be for abortion. It is positively contrary to our faith. So you can't be privately or publicly in favor of abortion and consider yourself Catholic. It's the line in the sand. It's where we draw the line. Why? Because the gift of human life is truly the greatest gift that God has to offer. And so we have the imitation of our blessed Lord saying that whoever receives a child receives the Lord himself. And so we learn many lessons from our blessed Savior today, chief of which is that the Son of Man must suffer. We have to serve like the Lord. We have to count our blessings and always stand for life.
That was really beautiful, Father. I'm reminded of how much Mark packs into one little gospel every week. You know, because we did it, ran the gauntlet of things we should be concerned about and how we should rearrange our thinking as Christians. Because what we've thought in the earthly sense as so important as who is the greatest and who is the most important is really the farthest thing back on the list for our Lord. And
great point. Yeah. Thank you for pointing that out, Owen, that Mark does the heavy lifting quickly.
Yes. It's like the cliff notes of life here in the Mark's gospel. But we can, and I think sometimes that's why it's good, like we have a Friday where we're taking a look at the gospel, what we're going to have for Sunday. So when you get in there, you don't miss over all of these elements that are so compactly put into this gospel. So we have this where we're putting ourselves last, which was probably against the grain of all the apostles that were jockeying for this position as they started to form in their mind, okay, this is the Messiah. What does that mean for me? And then stepping it back and juxtaposing it with the child and no, the smallest, the weakest is what you need to care for. And it was succinctly and beautifully put in this gospel.
I like Mark because he's writing to, apparently, Mark is writing to the Roman people. Mm-hmm. Romans understood power, and so Mark is helping the Romans to understand what it truly means to be powerful, and the vision of Jesus being a powerful Savior from the cross, serving others, giving his life, it really is a gift. Mark is like you said, it reminds me, who was it, Dragnet, when they said, Inspector Friday said, just the facts, ma'am.
Yes.
Mark is just, he gets it said very quickly. He's the shortest gospel. Mm-hmm. He is, he's helping the Romans to understand what it means, who God is and who we are with God.
I like to, at the end, when you reminded us that this gospel is still pertinent to us today, and we are learning things anew every time we read the gospel. And we have to be reminded that whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me. And particularly in our world today, when children or life are discarded, these gospels, the essence is just as important to the apostles who heard it 2,000 years ago, to those of us who are going to hear it this Sunday as well. Mm-hmm. The message is eternal, and we just have to make sure that we're still following it and not trying to make it our own in today's 21st century.
Yeah, well, that kind of reminds me, thank you, that reminds me of St. Therese, the little flower who said she could read a gospel one day and get something out of it when she read it the next day.
Uh-huh.
So it's speaking to each individual in a special way, but it, of course, the gospel is eternal and new, so it does speak to each person, each generation, rather, in a profound way as well. Of course, we need to hear the gospel so much today because the world is, without the gospel, it's a very sad place.
Yeah. Well, even with the gospel in it, some people are making it sad.
That's true.
And we have to do our part just to remind those in our families, in our community, that we live and breathe and have our being in God the Creator and in His Son, Jesus Christ, and these gospels that He left us. And that's why we go through them every Friday, too, just a reminder that this is who we are, who we're made by, and who we're made for, not for things of this world and what this world tells us are so vitally important, but these messages, succinctly put by Mark this week, that's who we are and who we're made for.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah. See, you got some pointers now for your Sunday gospel there.
Hey, you guys put me under the gun. I mean,
I know.
I didn't know I was going to have to get my homily done 2 days early. Thank you for helping me.
Well,
hey, you're welcome.
You know, this is just like a practice test, Father Paul.
I sure hope I do better. I hope I do better in the middle rounds. You know?
Well, we will encourage our listeners to go to...
Hey, the next time... What? The next time I'll get the gospel right. I got my missalette here, and I kind of the small print missalette gave me a little trouble with my old eyes.
Oh, that's good. Well, our listeners can go attend the celebration of Sunday Mass at St. Margaret of Scotland in Foley this week, and you'll get the fuller version of this.
Well, we got plenty of room, by the way. 100 pews, so you know.
Oh, yeah. Are things good down at the parish, Father?
Oh, very well. Yeah,
good.
Things are well. I mean, uh-huh. it's a blessing every day.
Oh, yes.
We have had a lot of people from Ida be with us in the last couple of weeks.
Oh,
we've had a lot of people from Louisiana come to be with us. I don't know exactly. I know some of their stories, but I haven't really gotten an understanding of why they're down here with us right now. So, but we've had a lot of the poor evacuees from Ida coming from Louisiana, which has been great.
And that is true. And you know what? It's something we can reciprocate in future times, too, because we know living on the Gulf Coast that a storm might come our way next time. So it's good to be neighborly and hospitable to all those who are over here, a lot of them temporarily, as they get ready to go back home.
Be servants.
Yes, like there Mark. You go. Father Paul Zogby, can we get a blessing from you before you leave
Tim
this morning?
Through the intercession of our Blessed Mother and all the angels and saints, may God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Father
Thank
Paul
so
Zogby
much.
From St. Margaret of Scotland.
You.
Thanks.
Have a great day.
You too. He's such a good sport. I was calling him last minute. We thank our sponsor, Spring Hill College. Considering a nursing career, SHC's nursing program ranks number one in Alabama for 2021. Spring Hill College is nationally recognized for preparing nursing students for today's world. To see the top-ranked nursing division and other programs, visit shc.edu today. Mikey, on Monday,
on Monday, we'll be talking with a familiar name throughout the Archdiocese, Jonathan Weiss, who is the co-producer of 4PM Media there with Dan Johnson. He'll be talking about Massive Ages film. He worked with Cameron O'Hearn on that, so we'll talk with him about that. And Tim Furnish returns to discuss his article, 9 AD and 9/11. And Amy Smith gives us the Saints of the Month and Feast Days of the Month for September.
Oh, good stuff. Hope everyone has a very blessed weekend with your family.
God bless you, and don't forget to call your mama. She loves you.